Timmy, lob, Holmgren. Oh, what a play! Timmy to Holmgren.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Would Chet Holmgren be the number two overall pick in the draft of the Oklahoma City Thunder? We think so.
Probably.
Probably, but it's tough to say, right?
What do you want from us? What do you want us to say? What do you think we know?
I wish we did. We're going to find out, though, in a couple hours how everything's going to shake out in round one and round two, of course, of the 2022 NBA draft. Joining us right now live on the line to discuss it, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider on the Roman guest line, by the way. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, former NBA general manager, our friend, the great Ryan McDonough on Twitter, at McDNBA. McD, happy draft day. It's Nick and Ken. How you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. It's always good to be on with you guys. And I guess with a compressed schedule, I'm a little surprised that it is draft day. It feels like this is like our third one in the last year and a half, but certainly excited for tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors literally won the title like last week. So yeah, it's where we're not that far removed from the end of the postseason, obviously. And Ryan, like the perfect day to have you on, honestly, with your front office experience, because I have so many questions, just things I don't know about how stuff works, basically. And I always feel like these interviews are really helpful for figuring that out. The first one is to actually go off something that Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN tweeted earlier today. Not the part that we focused on a lot in this show, but the part where the teams have finalized their draft boards or they're getting close to finalizing them. When does that usually happen? I always think this is something that gets disputed a lot. Like, you know, last week, did the Magic know who they were taking? Do they definitely know right now? Have you ever encountered situations where the team like went to 5, 6, 7 o'clock Eastern and didn't fully know 100% who they were going to take? Kind of take us behind the scenes there.
Yeah, usually teams set their board the week of the draft, sometime between Monday and today. I think most boards, if not all of them, are set by now. The reasons to wait until the end is, you know, obviously you want as much information as possible as you're going through the process. Any late intel that comes in, especially medical information that may be disqualifying, or off-court intel if you're struggling to track something down and you know, figure out a player's makeup, his character, his work ethic, all those kind of things. So that's why teams do it relatively late. And they're also, you know, generally, especially at the top of the draft, relatively secret about it because you don't want other people knowing what you're thinking. I think the Orlando Magic have done a good job of that, and we've seen the movement on the betting markets, especially with Paolo Banchero. I think they're going to take Jabari Smith. People I talk to around the league think they're going to take Jabari Smith, but Banchero, certainly the odds have moved over the last 24 to 48 hours, and you know, Orlando's done a good job where it wouldn't be a shock if they took any one of the top three guys, Smith, Holmgren, or Banchero, but I personally think it's going to be Smith.
Jabari Smith is the favorite right now. This market is back up at our show sponsor, BetRivers. Jabari Smith minus 335 to be the first overall pick. Paolo Banchero plus 185. Chet Holmgren plus 1600 to be the first overall pick. McD, are you hearing anything, any whispers, any rumors, any scuttlebutt about the Houston Rockets potentially looking to trade up to number one to secure Paolo Banchero and make sure that they get Paolo Banchero?
I don't think that's going to happen. I say this with some confidence. I think the Houston Rockets are very comfortable with the top three players in the draft, or at least their top three players in the draft. They're all front court guys, and I think there's a reason that Orlando is struggling with this decision, or you know, let me put it a different way, that you know, Orlando's taking their time and going through the process and evaluating all these guys, and I think Houston in some instances use it as far as like they'll let Orlando and OKC make the decision for them. I think they're comfortable with all three guys. So to answer your question more directly, Nick, no, I don't see them giving up value to move you know, up to one. I think they have those players relatively evenly ranked, and I think they'll sit back and see who falls to them at three.
Ryan, one thing you mentioned why draft boards may be late in finalizing is the perhaps like medical information that appears at the last second, or you know, any kind of reporting that you get on a player's health or condition. And we'd heard some stuff about Chet Holmgren, basically, not that he, you know, has an injury or something that's like that much of a red flag, but really just it seems like because of his build and, you know, his camp apparently not giving out as much medical information maybe as some teams would have liked, that there was some like sort of a cloud over whether he was really going to be taken second overall, whether that could cause him to slip. Like, how big a deal is that kind of stuff in front office circles? Like, if you don't get all the medical info, even if it's like a great, like a, maybe a transcendent prospect, but you don't get the medical info that you want, like kind of take us again behind the scenes on what that conversation is like.
Sure. Yeah, it's one of the frustrations I have with the NBA and the pre-draft process is that players are not required to submit physicals to the league or to all 30 teams. And what agents do now to try to manipulate the process, especially with players at the top of the draft when they want a specific player in a specific location, is just give the medical to maybe a couple teams, maybe just one team, and then try to scare other teams away from taking that player. So, for example, if Chet Holmgren's representatives think the OKC Thunder at number two are a better fit than the Orlando Magic at number one, I can see them not giving the medical to Orlando. And the risk, as you guys can imagine, as an executive, is even though you think a player's okay, you watched him play 30 or 40 games in college or wherever this year, what if you draft a guy, especially at or near the top of the draft, and then that player breaks down quickly? It's information you should have had or should have been able to find out, but you didn't know it, you got it wrong. And that's probably one of the things that keeps you up at night as an executive and one of the quickest ways to get fired if you were to blow that call. So that's why it's tough. I wish all players had their medical information, you know, made available to all the teams, but that's not the case in the NBA. And that's why it doesn't happen often, guys, but the risk on the agent and player side is if you do have a player that you think is going to go near the top of the draft and you only give the medical information to a few teams, well, if that player then slides and bypasses, say, the last team who has his medical, that can theoretically create a scramble of teams behind them trying to get medical information and figure out why is this kid sliding and are we the ones who want to pull the trigger and stop his free fall.
McD, I have a two-part question for you here. And the first part you can answer basically with like a level of confidence or like a yes or a no. Picks 1, 2, and 3 in some way, shape, or form, order undetermined. Like your level of confidence that it'll be Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, and Chet Holmgren. Those are going to be the first three picks of the draft. Like your level of confidence in that in like 10 seconds, then I'm going to ask a second question.
In any order, too. Yeah.
95%.
Okay, so 95%, so that's going to be very likely in some order, Jabari Smith, Paolo Banchero, and Chet Holmgren. Okay, the fourth overall pick is the Sacramento Kings. We've been known to do a couple wacky things here and there. Now, Jaden Ivey is the favorite at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, minus 265 to be the fourth overall pick. Keegan Murray and Benedict Mathurin following him on the odds board. What's the latest you're hearing on Sacramento? Rumors they want to trade out? Maybe a team comes up to get Ivey? Maybe it's somebody else? Tell us what you're hearing here about the fourth overall pick.
So one of the bets I would feel good about is Jaden Ivey with the fourth pick. And I say with the fourth pick because I think there's a chance that that pick does not end up with Sacramento. Although keep in mind, I think we're past the window now as we approach about 4 hours from the draft. I think the picks are locked in at this point. So it would technically be Sacramento making the pick. But Jaden Ivey going fourth, I think is an excellent bet. Because, you know, Sacramento has shown that in the recent past, especially under this front office led by Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox, that they're not afraid to draft guards, even on a guard heavy team. They did it 2 years ago with Tyrese Halliburton. That was absolutely the right pick. They obviously traded Halliburton to Indiana this year for Domantas Sabonis. And then last year they did it again with Davion Mitchell, the guard from Baylor. And I think it's likely a third time, guys, because if you look back at the roster, especially with the deal they made with Indiana, well, now Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield are gone. So they still have De'Aaron Fox and they still have Davion Mitchell, but they've shown that they're not afraid to draft the best player. I think Ivy is certainly the best player who's going to be available at four, may end up being the best player in this entire draft, but the Kings do have a 16-year playoff drought. They were 30-52 this season. They want to get back into the playoffs and break that drought next season. They have a new head coach in Mike Brown. So I wouldn't at all be surprised. In fact, I would probably expect, I think there's a better than 50% chance that Sacramento trades the fourth pick.
Okay, so Sacramento maybe trades the fourth pick. Greater than 50% chance, you're saying, to somebody who maybe drafts Jaden Ivey from Purdue. So we can kind of play out like your mock draft here, basically, right? So it's those three players that we discussed, you know, the big three in any order, doesn't really matter. Ivey fourth to somebody, maybe Sacramento, maybe somebody else. That brings up, I think, another like pretty important decision point for people that have been betting this draft. A lot of interest has been put into betting Keegan Murray from Iowa's draft position under, which is 5.5. And obviously that under 5.5 is now basically like -300. Everywhere it's been bet a lot. And okay, let's play this out. There are four spots have been taken. Ivy goes fourth. The Detroit Pistons have the fifth overall pick. So basically what people have found themselves betting into is a market of, will Detroit end up drafting Keegan Murray fifth? Do you think it's sure to be him? How many other players do you think could go there? Is this the point where the draft kind of opens up a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think it's sure to be Murray, but I think he is the favorite. That's who I would anticipate being the number five pick. And I think one of the things that strengthened the case for Murray as the number five pick was the trade yesterday with Portland, with Jeremy Grant going to the Trailblazers. The Detroit Pistons now have a ton of cap space. The expectation around the league is that they'll use a significant portion of that to try to acquire DeAndre Ayton from Phoenix, either buy an offer sheet or sign and trade. But they need a wing. They need a wing. You know, they drafted Cade Cunningham a year ago. They have Isaiah Stewart in the front court. We'll see what happens with Ayton. Sadiq Bey is a nice wing player for them. So I would look at Keegan Murray, maybe Ben Mathurin there. If they were to go with maybe more of an upside play, I think Murray is more proven and established. At least his productivity this year was off the charts at Iowa. But Mathurin's a guy who's really rose throughout the pre-draft process and I think would be a nice positional fit. If I were betting it, guys, I would bet the under, meaning that Keegan Murray goes in the top five. As you said, Ken, I don't think he goes 1 through 4. I do think he goes 5, but that's what I'm anticipating as of 4 hours before the draft.
You bet BetQL Network. Draft day, tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, talking the NBA draft with Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, former NBA general manager, the great Ryan McDonough on Twitter at McDNBA. McD picks 6 through 10. Indiana, the aforementioned Portland Trailblazers, the New Orleans Pelicans, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Washington Wizards. What is the thing from 6 through 10 with the teams I gave you that you feel the most confident in, like a team being linked to a player, maybe a team trading up to take someone? From 6 through 10, what do you feel most confident in?
I feel most confident that we're going to have a trade or multiple trades in this range, in that 6 to 10 range. I know that might not be exactly what you want, but those teams, starting with Indiana, I think maybe willing to be a little more patient, but certainly Portland with the move they made yesterday. I thought it was great value for the Blazers to get Jeremy Grant without giving up the 7th pick. We've heard the scuttlebutt about them potentially offering it to Toronto for OG Anunoby. And I think what Portland did, guys, was essentially tell Damian Lillard last year to take his time, to not rush back from an injury, that the team was only going to hit the bottom or try to hit the bottom for 1 year and then bounce back up quickly next season when Lillard is healthy back in the lineup, and that they would use their assets, their young players, their draft picks, their cap flexibility to build around Lillard. So I bring it up because they could pick somebody at 7 tonight, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if that pick is on the move as they try to continue to put together a playoff competitive team around Dame next year and maximize his prime. And then going down, you know, New Orleans has the pick from the Lakers at 8. They're ahead of schedule. Obviously got off to a slow start last year, and then their season really turned around in a big way. We saw how well their young guys played in the playoffs. Now they got Zion Williamson coming back as well. So I think they would use that pick in a trade. And then Washington at 10, same thing. They have Bradley Beal. My anticipation is that Beal re-signs in Washington with the Wizards, probably on a 5-year max deal, but they need to add a point guard. So we'll see if they draft one tonight. It's not a great draft for points. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they put 10 in play and try to aggressively upgrade their team, which keep in mind, guys, that would be a signal to Beal as well. If they have any doubt about him re-signing, if they use the pick to acquire a veteran player, especially a point guard, that would be a good signal to Beal that the front office is doing whatever they can to help put a winner alongside him.
Ryan, only about 60 to 90 seconds to go. And, you know, that last question was like a team specific conversation, right? 6 to 10. What are you hearing about those teams? And some really good stuff there, like Portland and Washington and their star players and what they might do, who they might acquire. Let's maybe have a player driven conversation with just, there's always a couple names on the day of the draft. You know, I think about last year, it was, you know, Josh Giddey was one of them, Chris Duarte, like guys who not only in the betting market, but just we would have guests on the show and they would say like, everybody wants this player now, basically. Is there anyone that fits that description this year? I'm not sure there's an obvious one. I can tell you in the betting market, like Usman Jiang would be one whose draft position has improved like 4 spots over the last few days. Jeremy Sohan from Baylor gets a ton of play in this category sometimes as like an upside guy. Anybody that you're hearing about in about a minute here that could kind of fit that description?
Ben Mathurin from Arizona, the sophomore, had a big year this year. I don't think he lasts long. He played well at Arizona. He tested well in the pre-draft process. he's pretty solid. I think he goes somewhere in the mid lottery. And then a wild card that's harder to peg, I guess, is Shaedon Sharpe. You'll hear a lot about him tonight. The guard from Canada, an extreme physical talent, but didn't play. So I think that makes his range maybe more variable. A lot of that depends on the workouts. Another guy that I feel pretty solid about that I don't think will last long talking to teams is Dyson Daniels, an Australian guard, played for the G League Ignite. So if you're betting it, I personally would stay away from Sharpe, even though the talent is significant. There's a wide range there, but I think Daniels and Mathurin are pretty good bets to not be on the board very long. I think both of them go in the mid lottery.
So you said mid lottery here. Benedict Mathurin's draft position is 6 here, with like and juice to the under here. You think he's going top? Like, is he going to the Pacers at 6 here, or you think he's going to go after that potentially in like 15 seconds?
Well, if again, it's just a one slot pick for me because I don't think he goes in the top 5. I mean, maybe 5 to Detroit. Boy, that's a tough one. I didn't realize it was that high. I would probably go under, but I don't feel very strong about that. Real quick, do you have Dyson Daniels there?
I can get
7.5, I think. Yep. Pretty sure it's 7.5.
Yeah. We're running out of time.
Yeah, these numbers have moved a lot. I think they go right in that range. So I don't have a strong feeling. I don't want to give your listeners bad advice. I think those guys go right in that 6, 7, 8 range somewhere.
We appreciate it. Enjoy the draft tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Up next, MLB futures on YBYB.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.